Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting, and it's another local cricketing special, the penultimate one, sadly, in a very strange season, but I'm over the moon that we've been able to discuss over recent weeks some cricketing action here in and around this Hertfordshire region to give us some insights again from the Rolls Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division. We are lucky again to be joined by their skipper, their captain, Tom Jenkins. Welcome back, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Tony. I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing really well, likewise. Top man. Well, look, Tom, I'll tell you what, we were giving it the big build-up last week, but it really did sell itself, didn't it? It was Radlett Potters Bar. Away you were at Potters Bar, table-topping Potters Bar versus, at the time, second-placed Radlett. Juicy affair, and it looked like there was a bit of juice in the wicket. Give me the story of the game.
Yeah, you're right about the wicket, certainly. I think some of the weather managed to get under the surface, so it was a bit of a wet one and made life pretty hard for the batters. But yeah, obviously we ended up coming in on the wrong side of the result. But the batters probably not doing as good a job as the bowlers. But yeah, so disappointing. But yeah, pretty tight affair in the end, but not another tight one for us. But yeah, not on the right end of this one.
Hey, it's one of those, isn't it, that you can't win them all. And weirdly, sometimes it is in these narrow defeats that teams grow and learn. But I'm sure that's no consolation at this moment. That got to be said again, like it does look to me, just looking at the results, that there was something definitely in the wicket. And I know your bowlers certainly look to have set you a real fair target, whipping the Potters Bar boys out for 112 after only 38 overs. Who were the chief wicket takers from Radlett's perspective?
Yeah, look, the bowlers did a pretty good job, actually. We asked questions all innings long, and obviously you can tell with a scoring rate of 112 or 38 overs with a batting lineup as strong as Potters Bar, the wicket and the combination of the bowling obviously did a fantastic job. In terms of the wicket, they're all pretty spread around, actually. Noah Cornwell, who's 15, chipped in with a couple. Kabir Tor, leg spinner, had three, I think, and so did Josh DeCaris. So, yeah, I was overall pretty happy. I think we probably, the perfectionist in me, think that we leaked a few runs, maybe. But when you bowlers do such a good job, you back your batters to go and chase 112 on almost any surface. So, yeah, disappointing, but the bowlers did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. And again, that sense of disappointment in what was a table-topping affair. Again, of course, no championships at stake, but always that local pride. Disappointment, I think, must be the word. Because, as you say, when you've dismissed a table-topping Potters Bar for 112, you must be feeling, again, granted, this does sound like a hairy wicket, that you've got enough in the team there to kind of hunt that down. As we know, partnerships are so key. Was it just simply a case that there was no real partnerships built in response?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you sort of you start your innings off, and obviously they've got a good bowling attack similarly to as we do, so you know it's going to be hard work against the new ball, and then the ball, the way the wicket was, the ball was always going to spin as well. Mm-hmm. So you're always under a bit of a challenge. But like you say, every week we talk about trying to put partnerships together, and when you're chasing 112. One partnership of 50 or 60 completely changes the game. And unfortunately, we didn't really get that, and we lost wickets in clusters, which builds pressure. And so obviously, the opposition then get a bit of sort of momentum over you, and the game got a bit tight. So the lower order actually did a pretty reasonable job. Probably the middle order, including myself, probably we would be looking for a change and a reaction this week, because we were the ones that lost our wickets in clusters. But yeah, like you say, the overriding thing is disappointment, because A, you never want to lose, but B, it would have been great to go through the season unbeaten with a game to go. But yeah, we're looking forward to this week and hopefully looking to put a few things right.
As I say, it's a weird one. You talk to all great teams across all different sports, and it's not necessarily the victories or even the trophies that kind of stick in the memory banks as turning points, as critical moments. It is these defeats. As I say, I'm sure right now, Tom, that is zero consolation. But I'm sure that you'll be looking to learn a few of those lessons and really apply it this weekend The 12th of September, in a weird season, as we know, it's the final game. Certainly, I'm sure, looking to go out with a bang at home against fifth-placed Hoddesdon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Hoddesdon have been a little bit of a surprise package in some respects, but they do have some absolutely game-changing players. So we know we're still going to have to play well, albeit that there's not a huge amount to play for us now, given that that puts us in the position we do from last week. But again, if you can't get up for your last game of the season with your kind of your record is on the line and the lessons to learn from last week particularly, then we're kind of playing the wrong sport, I think. So we'll certainly be up for a challenge, and hopefully we'll finish the season off on a high and go into the winter having one defeat to our name and had a good season considering the circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to discovering the tale of next week as you host in your final game of this campaign, Hoddesdon. As I say, Hoddesdon currently in fifth. Played 8, won 3, lost 3 with 2 no results. Radlett in fourth as it stands. Been great to talk with you. We've been fortunate not only to discuss local cricket and so chuffed that it's been in action, but also the international arena. And Australia, of course, still in town. And England got a big victory, 2-1. In the T20 arena. As always with T20, all of the games could have gone either way. It was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing of momentum. But my goodness me, the character of this team of England in all forms of the game at the moment is really coming to the fore. I was very impressed overall with those three matches. I think maybe Australia in the first one looked a little ring rusty. I'm sure they won't be using that as an excuse. But Tom, your thoughts on a great 2-1 victory over the old enemy in the T20 form of the game?
Yeah, I've been sort of quite fascinated by this small series of three games, actually, in that there's so much you can learn. I mean, watching Owen Morgan as a leader and learning leadership skills from him is fantastic. But also watching about how these younger guys go about their business with kind of fearless cricket. We as Radlett have a lot to learn in you can learn all sorts from that sort of thing. But there is no doubt that Australia have a very, very strong side, and they always will, I suspect. But what a contest it's been whilst unearthing some great young talent with some of the bigger names out of action. The Jason Roys of this world, perhaps. But I think the likes of Tom Banton and a few others have been very exciting to watch and have a great future.
As well.
I saw today David has become he's become world number one in T20 batting, which is an extraordinary record considering he struggles to get into the team sometimes. But yeah, absolutely, there's so much you can learn. And the margins in 2020 cricket are so small. Losing a wicket at a certain time or a particular over going for a big score, it completely changes the momentum of a game. And we can transfer that into our 45-over cricket.
Yeah.
Because I think we could learn a lot from what we did last week, actually, which was generally a fairly condensed game. But like you say, handling pressure and leadership and all sorts of skills you can take on from watching these guys.
And what it is, Tom, I love that because you're a student of the game. And it is when you watch these people at the elite level that you pick up the little one percenters. You know, again, it might just be a little moment when a decision is made or a moment where there is that sense that you can go for the jugular. But it's really brilliant to hear you being willing to always learn and always look to instill at Radlett that brand of cricket we're calling fearless.
Yeah, I think so. If you can't model the best, so I would consider the England team currently with Owen Morgan as that leader in that leadership role as captain, I would consider then the benchmark to copy and try and emulate. But we also, as Radlett, have a responsibility to a lot of the young players to teach them and work towards them going on to higher level cricket. This year we've had Joe Cook, who's a club member of ours, make his first class debut for Glamorgan. He's contracted there this year. Josh DeCares has just got a 3-year contract with Middlesex at 19 years of age. So one of our responsibilities is to get some of these really young guys progressing through the club and almost past the club. And if we can get these ethoses and methods into these guys as young cricketers, then all the better for the club, but also themselves personally as well.
Do you know, again, it is what this kind of pyramid is all about in sport, isn't it? But ultimately, whether it's cricket, which we appreciate, tiddlywinks, chess, rugby, whatever, the ability of sport to really build character and kind of give a strength of will is, in my opinion, almost unsurpassed of all the possible pursuits that we can have. Just briefly, your take, particular to cricket in its character-forming qualities.
The way I look at cricket, particularly when I coach it and I'm teaching, coaching and helping a lot of these young guys, is a lot of it is mental, and quite often it's how you deal with failure. So if you're a batsman, is failure not getting 100 every week? So if succeeding is getting 100, then you're going to fail more often than you succeed. So you have to find ways to deal with failure, and keep progressing and keep getting better and keep coming back every week to try and make sure you succeed. So it's a big mental skill in life, in business, in everything, that dealing with failure and progressing and learning particularly from those failures. I'm quite a big believer that you try and win calmly and lose calmly, because you can be reflective on both. So, if that was something I'd be looking to improve on myself, possibly it is a certain level of calmness, but also for the guys to install and get used to winning, because then you back that ability and those skills of your teammates when things get tight. And we've done that a couple of times this year, not last week, unfortunately, but we have won some close games. And that's what I've been particularly proud of the lad for, is that character, to that kind of never say die attitude to always being in the game. And if we can make that culture throughout the whole club, then we'll have done a great thing.
The Rolls-Royce of the Saracens Hertfordshire Premier Division. You've earned that moniker richly over the years. And again, in a surreal season, victory this coming weekend will represent another fine campaign. Before we give a final shout to that fixture, home affair as it is, just briefly, Tom, your thoughts in the one-day international arena. Again, another compacted series, all matches at Old Trafford, starting Friday, a game on Sunday, and then culminating on Wednesday, the ODI series. England, of course, a little over a year ago, in front of the home faithful at Lord's, when there was fans in the arenas, can you remember that? Claimed an epic victory in that World Cup. Again, building momentum after the T20s, I got a feeling they're going to go in as slight favourites here against the Aussies. But I'll tell you what, back out an Aussie at your peril, I've found over the years.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? And particularly the fast bowling stocks of both teams. If Wood and Archer are playing for England, and Stark and potentially Cummings and Hazelwood and these guys, it's just a barrage of 90-mile-an-hour bowlers, which is fascinating and exciting to watch. So, I think it'll be interesting if they're all games at Old Trafford. So it'll be interesting to see the wicket that they prepare. I would hope it'll be a quick one. But, it'd be exciting to watch, I'm sure, yeah.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to talking with you for the final time next week, where it would be great to be discussing a big W bouncing back. Just briefly in closing, Tom, your final call to arms for you and the team and your thoughts ahead of the final game of the season, hosting Hoddesdon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We can only control what we can control, and that's our own skill sets and our performances. So I'm looking for a reaction from the batters and the bowlers to continue their good work. So I think if we do all of our skills right, then hopefully we'll come out on the end of a win and then kind of possibly have a fairly calm celebration of the season afterwards. We're lucky that we've been able to play this year. So, a socially distanced beer or two, and it'll be good fun.
You know, it sounds more than civilised. I'm sure it will be a good old evening. Tom, it's always good fun to talk with you. And always, in closing, from myself, the whole team here at Verum Sports, sending our best wishes to all at Radlett Cricket Club ahead of the final game of the season. I look forward to chatting to you all about it next week. Thanks again. Hello again, and welcome to the second part of this week's local cricket scene special. Sadly, the penultimate local cricket special, but it's been great that we've had local cricket to discuss in this surreal season. And what was really great, from my point of view, was to go to Harpenden last week and witness the lads in action. And I got to tell you, massively impressed with the spirit on display against a very, very strong Totteridge Mill Hillians outfit. We'll analyse it now. We'll talk about it with friend of the show, Harpenden's own, the mighty Rupert Garrett. Rupert, good evening. How are you doing?
Evening, Tony. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing really, really well. And once again, a massive thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed my day at the cricket last week. Looking forward to talking all about it now. But a massive thanks. It was a lovely occasion for me. So appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Excellent stuff. And well, we mentioned, obviously, you guys were coming in two wins on the spin. And you could kind of feel that. But we always say, I know sometimes we do talk cliches from the cricketing perspective, but there's an old one. And there's reasons why these cliches exist. There's veracity to them. There's wisdom to them. They're tried and tested. And there's one, you know, I'm going to say, it's catches win matches. And sadly, I think seven drop C's from Harpenden's perspective, many ways, was the difference.
Yes, you were there, Tony. You saw it. I think six or seven catches and also a miss stumping and maybe a couple of run-out chances against any side, really. But against a strong side like Totteridge Mill Hillians, and their top four were very good players, and they scored the majority of their runs. But
they did.
I can't remember who gave the chances. But yes, you said they gave loads of chances. And we'll never know what would happen had they caught some of them. But I think we can safely say that they probably wouldn't have got as many runs. But hypothetical now.
But you know what? What a spirit was shown there. Because, you know, as you rightly say, I was there. And I love my day out at the cricket, as I've referenced. But, you know, all out for 257. There was one time kind of in proceedings where I really thought they were on pace for a 300-plus scoreline. And so to restrict them to 257, to give the batsmen a real chance. And we've been saying, haven't we, that the story of this campaign all season has been the quality of the bowlers. And you know what? They did do their justice. They really showed their merit. And although the partnerships were very strong and Totteridge really did look like a quality side, you can see why the high flying never laid down. And that impressed me massively.
Yes, thanks. And I think also our captain the side very well. You wouldn't have known that our opening bowler actually had a slight side strain. They couldn't bowl his second spell. So they had to go to sort of, you know, the reserve bowlers, mm-hmm. and they bowl very well. So I think we hit about seven bowlers in the end. And yes, I think they were, you said, at one stage they were heading for 300. So I think we did pretty well to keep them down to probably about a par score, maybe 20 more, but, you know, pretty much competitive, you know, not out of reach by any means. I mean, you saw Harpenden's quite a fast scoring ground.
Yeah, lovely hard wicket.
Yes, and once the ball beats the outfield, it's infield, its chances are it's going to be four.
Tell you what, on that theme, just quickly, Rupert, you mentioned a wonderful anecdote that really made me smile about once upon a time in your playing days. You know, we kind of were joking because there's obviously quite a busy road that circulates the lovely green. And, you know, I know once upon a time you were hit so far in a way that it wound up in Luton. Fill us in. It's a great tale.
Yeah, I was playing, I think, for the second, probably the last millennium. And I got hit for six, which isn't a surprise for those that either see me play or know me, my bowling. And it happens, of course, quite regularly to people at Harpenden. And we couldn't find the ball, which happens sometimes. And so a replacement ball was got and the game finished. I think we won that game, but that's by the by again. Anyway, then on the Monday morning, so the Saturday, our secretary got a knock on the door from a taxi driver from Luton, whose car was parked outside his house, who was holding a ball. And he said, "You Harpenden Cricket Club?" And my secretary said, "Yes." He said, "Well, this was stuck in my mudguard all weekend. He got, you know, someone in the cricket club hid it into my mudguard." And so he stood there holding the ball, and I think the secretary thought he wanted some money for it. But anyway, in the end, he gave, yes, yeah, so I was hit all the way from Harpenden to Luton without the ball touching the ground.
That's one hell of a slog, but good stuff. It wasn't a yeah. slog watching, though, this weekend. It was a real fun, very, very competitive affair. And, you know, coming out to bat, chasing what was a chunky score, I was very impressed We've been talking about it all season, haven't we, about the youthful quality, which bodes well for the future of Harpenden. He didn't make a massive score, actually. I think he came in fresh from a 96 knock the week before. But you're number three, a scrap of a lad, and literally a lad, only 16. Looks to me that that young man knows how to wield a bat. Very impressed.
Yes, he practices all the time. His father's most nights is in the net throwing balls at him. Yes, he's going to be a very good player. He's only 16 years old, and we're hoping, again, he can finish up the season well this weekend. He didn't bowl, actually, on Saturday. He's a pretty decent bowler as well. So we're hoping big things for him next season. Yes, great talent, and so if he can get some runs on Saturday.
And just coming back talking runs, it was a valiant run chase. Wickets did fall periodically, and towards the end of the game, of course, there was that need to really play kind of extravagant cricket in the hope of hunting down the target. But 224 for 10 all out against that big total. Once again, a hurdle too far. But what an effort. The character of this young side really comes to the fore. You can feel it when you're there in the live presence. Just your thoughts in the response.
Yeah, well, we won 7-8 for 4 with a big partnership you saw. And then we haven't even talked about the fact that ended up in a run out. Sadly, both players didn't end up in the middle of the pitch, which often happens in a run out. But again, so they effectively got themselves out. And after the game, I spoke to two of them, and they both felt they were going to win the game. They needed about 7 and 8 and over, but they were scoring at that quite consistently. So, again, that was another turning point of the game. So, sounds like sort of a sob story. But if you add up 6 drop catches, a miss stumping, and then a run out of one of your top batsmen, you're not going to win many games. But it shows, to get to within 30 runs, having done all that, that... not only does it bode well for this weekend, but it bodes well for next season. Yeah, so again, probably a little bit of an experience shown, but that's cricket. And I think that they can be quite proud. Probably left a little bit for the lower order to score again, 8, 9, 10 and over towards the end.
They gave it their all, though. There was always that sense that, there's every chance here. Even, the wickets kept falling, but the energy and the kind of, the innovative nature of the shot making, when obviously it was a big run chase, was very, very impressive. There's a nucleus of a really rather strong squad and team evolving here. And it was great to witness that with my own two reasonably good eyes.
Thank you. Yes. And yes, I agree. Thank you. And it's been, as everyone knows, it's been a very odd season. Curtailed for obvious reasons. It's quite sad, really, it's coming to an end for Harpenden, because obviously I think the top four sides, Radlett, I think you had on before, were going to the playoffs, and good luck to all four teams. Yes, it's a funny old season, but all you can do is play as many games as you can, give youth a chance, and hopefully that'll bear fruit next season and in future seasons.
Absolutely, but one game remains. And you travel to Hartford, who are just one place above you in the league table, and literally just, I think, 1 point above. So this is, on paper, a really competitive-sounding match. Obviously, away day, obviously coming in off of defeat, although spirited. Be really wonderful, wouldn't it, to end this peculiar season with a win, to give that momentum going into the next season?
Yes, I'm sure Hartford feel exactly the same way. Yes, you're right. It's Hartford's another big high-scoring ground. I think if you bat first, you've probably got to get 250-plus either team. We played them actually last year in a slightly bad temper game of cricket. Mm. Doesn't matter why, but so it'll be competitive. I think both sides will obviously want to go out. With a win, as you said, maybe not having... I'm sure both teams would have hoped to be in the top four even in the shortened season. So a big game, yes. And I'm sure all 11, 22 players, 11 on each side, will be giving it the old 120, cliche, 120%.
Tell you what, sounds like there could be a bit of extra spice to this one. Look, Rupert, it was awesome earlier in the week to talk all-time top five batsmen. And tell you what, that's going to spark some controversy, but it was great to do that with you. And it's always good to discuss the elite of the game. great advert for the T20 series. Another victory for England in the shortened form. I'm a dinosaur, as you know, but I've been finding myself compelled by this recent England efforts and appreciating the fact that obviously coming in off that Pakistan victory we've analysed, a 2-1 victory over the slightly undercooked Aussies is never a bad thing. And again, spirit, character, class. You can see why England are so highly ranked in the shortened forms of the game at the moment, can't you?
Yeah, well, you know, we're world champions in the 50-over game. And I think next year, let's hope it gets played, England will be going in, if not the favourite, one of the favourites for the T20. We've got most bases covered. We've got quick bowlers, good spinners, powerful batting. And of course, we know Ben Stokes isn't playing at the moment. The one day series, 50 over starts tomorrow, I think. And they're bringing back in Joe Root and Chris Wokes from the World Cup winning side. Yeah, but I mean, it's quite rare for England to have a world champions anything. So I think Absolutely. We should celebrate that we're in a golden period of one day cricket. We're not doing that badly at Test cricket as well at the moment, having had a reasonable summer. But yes, it's great to see. And they're playing with such confidence. Very good captain. Owen Morgan's a really good captain. And they're a happy team. Obviously, you're going to be happy when you're winning. But he'll be competitive. The Aussies don't like losing. And, obviously the Aussies threw away that first T20 game. And it was pretty close. Again, England, a bit like Harpenden. They dropped a lot of catches in the last one day and missed a couple of run-outs. So they could have won 3-0, actually. But, yes, good to see England doing well. And long may that continue.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Garrett, got to raise a glass to you because donning your punditry hat, you nailed it. You called it a 2-1 England T20 victory in the 3-match series, as it proved to be. Very prophetic there. And I'm going to have to ask you to once again see if you can repeat the trick as we build towards the ODI series. Again, a protracted series, 3 matches coming thick and fast. Friday the 11th. Sunday the 13th, culminating on Wednesday the 16th of September. All three at Old Trafford. Love Old Trafford. Your thoughts? Can you repeat the trick? Can you get it right again, Rupert? Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, well, we're going to assume, obviously, the weather's going to stay fine, aren't we? I'm going to go 2-1 Australia, which might be heinous crime. I just think missing Stokes might be a bit of a blow. Well, it was a big weakness. I think Australia at full strength. It'll be very close again. I think we said it was going to be close to 220.
Yeah.
I think the first game is always important. Like if England win the first game, then it could end up being 2-1, 3-1, 3-0 England. But I think if Aussies can win the first game, then I see them winning 2-1. So I'm going 2-1 Australia.
Well, let's hope you're not quite as prophetic this time round. But no, I can't fault your thinking there. Yeah. I'm going to say this is going to end up 1-1. Got a sneaky feeling that being up in Old Trafford, haven't yet checked the weather report, but I've got a feeling that one of those three will suffer from the weather, and I think it'll be honours even in the other two. But that's probably what you might call sitting on fence syndrome. Yes. So I'm sure I won't be the only one doing that. But we'll see how it pans out. We'll look forward to it. And we'll look forward to your big game, your final game of the season. I'm sure there will be some merriment made when you return to the wonderful club you've got there at Harpenden. Just final thoughts, though, ahead of this enticing, spicy encounter against sixth place Hartford this very Saturday.
If Harpenden catch their catches and don't have any run-outs, they will win. I think Harpenden have got to go in confident. They know what they've got to do. They're playing well. Hartford are a decent side, but Harpenden would be sort of side that Harpenden, if they're going to compete with the Radlets and the Wellings in years to come, they've got to beat sides like Hartford. So it's a big game. And I'm going for Harpenden to win.
Love that. We'll find out next week from yourself, Rupert. Always, Rupert, I appreciate your time. And again, a big thank you. It was wonderful to be at Harpenden last week. I'm sure next season, I look forward to enjoying your company again there. And just in closing, I always say that this is your show, every single bit as much as it is ours. And I just want to give a big shout out to the team at St. Albans Ladies Hockey Club, not wielding bats, but certainly a form of stick on ball sport. Helen Anson's drops us an email, and good luck to St. Albans Ladies Hockey Club. This Saturday, they are in action in a national final in the, I think it's the over 45s contest. Last year, they narrowly lost to Sutton Coldfield in last year's national finals. They will be looking to go one stage better. They've had a phenomenal campaign, only conceding one goal all season. They've scored more goals than any team in the competition, with 22 on their run to the final. So sending best wishes to all of the ladies there in what will be a big, big final. I beg your pardon, it's coming up on Sunday the 13th, 5:30. Do check them out online. I believe the game, whilst it's behind closed doors, will be available via kind of websites and social media interaction. So as I say, to the ladies at St. Albans Hockey Club, best of luck for a big national final. And that's it from me for now. Rupert, I look forward to seeing how you fare in your big final game of the season next week. And for now, to you, to everybody at Harpenden, thanks again, and wishing you all the very best. Take care.